Moncrief on News Talk.
Now that's all coming up during Movies and Booze. And if you're one of those people who like to sip along with us, it might also be a good time to break out the Duolingo. Did you ever have that experience where you had a few drinks in a foreign country and managed to convince yourself that you've become better at the language? Well, there might be something to that. Dr. Inga Kersbergen from the University of Bath is co-author of a study into exactly that. Inga, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So could you describe for us first how you carried out this study?
We did the study in the Netherlands in a town that's really near the German border. And it has a lot of students from Germany who are studying in Dutch. So it was the perfect opportunity for us to test how German students who have been learning Dutch, how their Dutch language pronunciation was going to be after a small dose of alcohol.
Okay.
We invited them to the lab and we gave half of our participants one drink of alcohol and the other ones water. And then we measured how well their language was.
And how did you measure it?
We asked them to have a chat with an independent researcher who didn't know what they had to drink about animal testing. So that's quite a difficult topic. It's not just hi, bye, and where's the supermarket. And then that researcher rated, gave them a grade for their language abilities overall and also how fluent they were, what their grammar was like and their other sort of more nuanced aspects of language.
And all the, or the half of this body of students who'd had alcohol, did they all then were they in the top half, if you like, from the rating?
So their grade was significantly higher, but not a lot higher. So they got a better grade, but they didn't go from like a third class grade to a first class. But they did improve a little bit and enough for us to be able to pick up on it in our statistical tests.
Okay, yep. So had you rated them beforehand as to how fluent they were?
No, so we've only compared them afterwards. But because we randomly assigned them to their drinks, there shouldn't be any pre-existing differences between the groups.
Yeah, okay. But all these students, were they more or less at the same level in terms of their fluency? Because presumably some were better than others anyway.
Some of them will have been better than others, but all of them had been learning Dutch for roughly the same amount of time because they were all in the same year of study.
And in what sense do you think that they improved? Obviously, alcohol doesn't put words in your head. It doesn't improve your vocabulary. So I assume it's things like pronunciation they became more confident with.
Exactly. So it was only the pronunciation that we saw improved. And we think that's probably because they felt a bit, little bit more loose and they might have either felt like they could take a chance and try a bit harder, even though it might be embarrassing, or because they maybe didn't stutter as much or didn't look for their words as much as those who didn't have their alcohol.
If you're a German, is Dutch a hard language to learn?
I think so. I'm personally Dutch, and I think for Dutch, German is easier to learn than the other way around. But they are very similar languages, so we wouldn't necessarily know what would happen, for example, if these German students had been studying an Asian language.
Yeah, okay. But we can probably infer that it might have more or less the same effect. What was the one drink you gave them? Did everyone get the same drink, or could, you know, people say, well, I'll have a whiskey?
So they all got a bitter lemon vodka mixer. We tried to get them all at the same level of blood alcohol concentrate. So that means that someone who was heavier might need more alcohol than someone who's lighter. So a mixer is a good way for us to be able to exactly give people the right amount of alcohol for that level without massively changing the taste.
Mm. Why did you carry out this study? Did you suspect that this could be a teaching aid?
So we've not studied it because we wanted it to be a teaching aid. It came from a discussion we had at a conference, or the lead authors had at a conference. All of the researchers on this team have experience with like living in a foreign country. And we've all experienced the idea that you feel like you're better at a second language when you've had a drink. And actually, we expected that people, that was only in their heads and that they weren't actually going to be better at their language skills. So we were a bit surprised by the findings because people didn't rate themselves better and they were only rated better by the objective observer.
Okay, they didn't feel that they were better.
No, they didn't. And it was only one drink. And so you know, there's not a lot of alcohol in this study. And it's possible that people need more drinks to be... misidentifying their skills, because we know that we all get a bit more overconfident when we've had a lot to drink, and that's probably not going to help our language.
Yeah, because I'm wondering about that difference, that one drink probably, you know, you might feel more or less the same and think your proficiency is the same, but if you've had five drinks, you think, oh my God, I'm fluent now. It would have been interesting to compare those two things.
I think it would be interesting, although we know that people get pretty bad at their own language when they've had a lot to drink. So we don't think there's any reason to suspect they'll be better at another one.
Yeah, and you were one of this year's many recipients of an Ig Nobel Award for this. In academia now, I kind of get the sense that some years ago, people might be embarrassed for an Ig Nobel Award because it's a bit tongue in cheek. But now it seems as if a lot of people who get them, they're embracing them.
I think so. I've been very excited to be part of a long list of very interesting studies. And this has been on my bucket list, and I can tick that off, career highlight.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really, really fun to have a prize that sort of rewards curiosity and sort of interest in maybe really niche questions that don't have a lot of applicability. I don't think anyone is going to hand out alcohol to their learners, and I certainly don't think they should. There's probably much better ways to make people more confident in a second language. But it's an interesting question to answer.
Yeah, indeed. What for an Ig Nobel, is there a ceremony? Do you go someplace, and what do you get?
So there was a ceremony. I live streamed it last night. It's in the US in Boston, so I didn't attend, and none of our research team attended. But it was a really fun ceremony to watch. Some real Nobel Prize winners read out the acceptance speech for us, and they are also the ones who hand out the prize. There's a little statuette this year as the prize of a stomach, because the theme of the year was digestion. And we also, usually winners receive a very large $1 trillion bill of Zimbabwean dollars, but this year that was too expensive for the organizing committee, they said. So we're gonna get a wet towel like you get with a takeaway.
Okay,
I've heard.
Yeah,
that's
delightful.
So it's the honor more than the prize.
So like on your bio in the University of Bath, will you put that in now that you're a winner of an Ig Nobel Award?
I might add it as a line. I don't think anyone is going to be super impressed by it, but I think people who know the prize will appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, but are you going to do any more investigation into the relationship between alcohol and the ability to speak foreign languages?
No, me personally, I'm not. And most of my research, I actually focus on how we can help people drink less because of, you know, all the harms of alcohol that we are all very familiar with. But I hope that some linguists are going to take this forward, not to study the effects of alcohol necessarily, but to understand more about how people communicate in second languages and how they build their confidence.
Inga, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Inga Kersbergen from the University of Bath. One person says, I think it's confidence and feeling more relaxed. You might convince yourself that you are fluent in Italian when really all you've done to manage to do is order a limoncello at the end of your meal. No, that's true. But I, in my experience at least, particularly French, people think they suddenly become more fluent at French. You know, and they might have learned it at school. And I suppose because one of the difficulties with French is the pronunciation of all the kind of way that, you know, people speak. I did an Erasmus year in France, and there were some people in the French class who would be far too nervous to speak in a lecture than when you were at the student bar. They were full of chat. So this research reflects my own experience. Someone else says, I'm fairly good at conversational German, drunk or sober, and can understand some Dutch. But I would never try to speak Dutch, as all it comes from the throat and it's very difficult. Ooh. They use vodka mixes instead of Dutch gold. So they are more scientific, but not very patriotic. Well, maybe it was, I don't know, maybe there's a Dutch vodka that they use. I studied German in college, says this person. We always went to the pub for a couple of drinks before oral exams. Wow. An oral exam not only assesses your language ability, but also your conversation skills. Even natives don't have perfect grammar. And someone else says, I have been doing Spanish on Duolingo on a 750-day streak. I find I'm reasonably good at understanding what's being said, but trying to speak it is a different challenge completely. I spent 13 years between primary and secondary school in the bad old days, and I still can't speak Irish well. You're not the only one in that particular situation.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.